today, New York Attorney General Letitia James files a civil lawsuit against Donald Trump. Matt Walsh exposes Vanderbilt University's transgender clinic. And a North Dakota man admits to killing an 18-year-old he believed to be a Republican extremist. Yeah, we've got all of that and more coming up, and it all starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. I am Sarah Gonzalez, and we are joined today by Blaze TV contributor Alex Stein, host of Conspiracy Castle, and also Alex Stein on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So make sure you are subscribed to both, especially for the wildest conspiracy theories. I am also joined by the one, the only, Matthew Marsden, who is, of course, actor and producer extraordinaire. I feel like you're just kind of a jack of all trades if I were to list all of the things that you do.
Wait, no, I had to cut you off. Matthew, you posted a picture of your young self. Were you a male model? Is that where you got your start? No, were you?
Seriously, I should have known.
Yeah, have you seen his pictures?
I mean, very handsome.
He's still a handsome man, but I looked at his picture. I go, what is this? Who is this guy? Yeah. What the hell?
He used to look like that before he got old
still
and ugly.
Look good, but I mean, this picture, this professional modeling picture, I go, wow, this guy can sell some underwear or whatever. I don't know what he's selling, but I'd be buying. He's looking very good. Yeah.
Well.
You'll go check out his Twitter right now, yes, for the proof, for the receipts.
Many women right now are over there typing in your screen name or your name on Twitter, which is what, Matthew D. Marsden?
That's correct.
Did I have that right? Yeah. Is it weird that I knew that?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Hey, no, that's
okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. All right.
But go check it out. Weird. Go check out his latest tweets. I'm telling you, this guy, still a handsome man, but when he was a young man, I mean, this guy's like... it puts me to shame, and I'm one of the most beautiful human beings. I'm just saying, I'm one of the most beautiful human beings in Blaze history. This guy puts me to shame, so it's just, you know, my self-esteem is a little lower.
Well, now that Alex has wasted the first 5 minutes of the show.
I will always waste the first 5 minutes. This is a non-news part. This is a non-news part of the show for the people watching home. Now we'll get to the news. Excuse me.
No, it's not a waste. Keep going.
Yeah, sorry, go on. Just make the whole show about me. All right, so earlier today, Newark Attorney General Letitia James filed a $250 million lawsuit against former President Donald Trump, Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr., and of course the Trump Organization, alleging staggering fraud in the family real estate business. She announced the lawsuit at a press conference today. Here's a clip of that.
He did this with the help of the other defendants, his children, Donald Trump Jr., Ivanka Trump, and Eric Trump, and former Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg and Trump Organization Controller Jeffrey McConney. Mr. Trump and the Trump Organization repeatedly and persistently manipulated the value of assets to induce banks to lend money to the Trump Organization on more favorable terms than would otherwise have been available to the company, to pay lower taxes, to satisfy continuing loan agreements, and to induce insurance companies to provide insurance coverage for higher limits and at lower premiums.
Wow, that's a snooze fest. She claimed that Trump lied about the amount of cash he had on hand, overvalued his real estate properties, and ignored legal restrictions on development rights. The court papers claim that Trump valued his 40 Wall Street property at as much as $530 million in 2013, when it was actually appraised at $220 million in 2012. And of course, she is seeking to permanently bar Donald Trump, Don Jr., and Ivanka and Eric from serving as directors in any New York company, And she wants to bar Trump and the company from striking any real estate deals in New York for 5 years or getting any loans in New York for 5 years. I just kind of want to give some perspective here, because this is a woman who literally campaigned on trying to take Trump down. She tried to do that criminally. It did not work for her. So now I guess she is trying to go the civil route. I want to play for you from the Donald Trump Jr. From the Donald J. Trump Rumble account. Just a little reminder that she actually campaigned on suing Trump. Watch.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the ass.
I will never be afraid
to challenge this illegitimate president.
We need to focus on Donald Trump. We need to follow his money.
What is fueling my soul right now is Trump.
This illegitimate president.
Wow.
I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, and then going home.
Uh-oh, that was a no-no phrase that she just said, illegitimate president. Mm-hmm. That is, whoa, you are not allowed to say that, I'm told. But then again, that only started just recently in 2020.
Yeah, and I just want to, for the people playing at home, you might be aware of QAnon, but what you just saw is called BlueAnon. Mm-hmm. And this is the liberal version of their conspiracy, and they were able to just spread these misinformation lies from 2016 to up until 2020 with no repercussions whatsoever. So it's just kind of funny how, when you see the narrative change, why is that? Like, why can't we talk about the election anymore? But yeah, we could do it for 4 years. So people like Letitia, she's taking this personal attack on Donald Trump when her state is actually, not just the city, but the entire state of New York is absolutely in shambles. I think they spent almost $1 million on drag queen story time for children. I think it was like $750,000. They have a bail reform system where people are actually rubbing feces on people and getting out of jail within 24 hours. And she's spending the state's resources to civilly sue Donald Trump. And it's not even a criminal matter. So it's just a waste of time, and it's just all political Ponzi scheme, basically.
It takes me back to one of Donald Trump's favorite sayings, which is witch hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't help but watch all of this stuff and go, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and you know, you look at what they're doing. They've started, like, they're like, oh, who's this Florida governor over here that we're gonna like just make sure that he shuts up as well.
Yeah.
So what all this is it's scare tactics, because your average individual, and we know that Ron DeSantis doesn't have a lot of money, because when he came forward, he said this is, you know, he was very squeaky clean about, you know, all his student loans and everything. What they're trying to do is they're saying, if you run, if you think you're going to come up against the machine, this is what we're going to do to you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to come after your businesses. We're going to come after your children. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what they were doing. And a lot of people don't think about this. You know, I was thinking about this when Trump ran, and they were like, oh, you know, he's going to enrich himself. I'm like, he's going to lose everything by this.
Yeah.
They're going to go after him. They're going to keep going after him. He comes out of the presidency. They're still going after him. And so what do you think anyone, any decent person that is looking to run for government any way, shape or form is like, I don't want that. I don't want to destroy my children's lives.
Yeah.
It's utterly despicable what they're doing. And everybody, even on the left, you should go, come on. I mean, where's Hunter? There's nothing about the guy that lied on a federal document.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that there's a pass on one side and there's this witch hunt on the other side. It's disgraceful.
Well, and I just want to make this quick little point, the thing you said about Trump. Trump was the most popular with rappers. All these rappers would rap about him. I mean, celebrities on the left and right love Trump. As soon as he ran for president, universally hated.
Yeah, it's very weird how that happened. So I want to, Matt, you mentioned Governor DeSantis. We have been keeping you guys updated on the story of Ron DeSantis flying the, 53 illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard and how all of that transpired. If you recall, one of the reporters on the ground said that the illegal immigrants were actually thankful to Ron DeSantis for taking them there. I mean, who wouldn't be? It's an amazing place, amazing views. Why wouldn't you be grateful that someone actually flew you for free to a really awesome vacation place? And by the way, even after that, they were taken care of. I mean, if you consider being taken to a military base as taken care of, but they were given shelter, they were given clothing. I mean, they were taken care of for free for them. So they were very thankful. Well, now all of a sudden, I'm sure you guys will be shocked to hear, and you won't at all put the pieces together, that perhaps some leftist activists have gotten involved and gotten in these migrants' heads, that some of these illegal immigrants who were flown to Martha's Vineyard by Governor DeSantis have filed a lawsuit against him in federal court. They allege they were victims of a, quote, fraudulent and discriminatory scheme to relocate them. And the, of course, leftist nonprofit group Lawyers for Civil Rights claimed that Florida officials designed and executed a premeditated, fraudulent, and illegal scheme centered on exploiting this vulnerability for the sole purpose of advancing their own personal, financial, and political interests, which, of course, DeSantis' office responded, it is opportunistic that activists would use illegal immigrants for political theater. If these activists spent even a fraction of this time and effort at the border, perhaps some accountability would be brought to the Biden administration's reckless border policies that entice illegal immigrants to make dangerous and often lethal journeys. It's very fascinating all of a sudden, after these leftists make a spectacle about it, these migrants just have a change of heart. I'm sure it's just completely coincidental and not at all these awful, miserable, insufferable white liberals who are trying to tell these brown people how they are oppressed, because these poor brown people are not smart enough to figure it out themselves. They need the white liberals to explain this to them, Alex.
Yeah, and this is why America is the greatest country on earth. It's the only country you can enter illegally, and then you get to sue the government for not giving you the proper care when you enter their own country illegally. And I'll be honest, they should sue because I heard they flew on Spirit Airlines, so they didn't get a free soda. So actually, I think they have a lawsuit personally.
Just not against Ron DeSantis.
Well, he should have flown them Delta next time, all right, or American Airlines. But so I'm kind of on the migrants' side. If they, you know, Spirit Airlines, it's like I barely made it there to Martha's Vineyard. They're lucky it made it there and landed safely. So. Yeah, actually, I get there. I'm actually on their side in this argument. It's legal.
Shut up, Alex. I am.
Yeah, because he needs to fly them with at least, like, nice. I mean, you know, a free bag. They didn't even have free bags. They had to leave their bags in El Paso.
Did they get free bags in Venezuela?
They did get free bags. Or actually, when they landed in Martha's Vineyard, they all got knapsacks and goodie bags. But that's neither here nor there. They didn't get to take their original ones with them. So
I want to bring up, too, for the record, that the DeSantis' office did provide the consent form, copy of the consent forms that these people signed. And you may be like, well, they can't speak. They don't read English. Well, it was written in Spanish as well. So these people, just as with Governor Abbott, these people know exactly what's going on. They know that they are being taken somewhere else. But I mean, if you're an illegal immigrant, which you're not.
I'm a legal immigrant.
Are you legal? He is.
But I am a legal immigrant.
If you're an illegal immigrant and you come here and someone is like, hey, we'll take you, we don't actually want you, but we'll take you to a place who does want you, to an area that says that they are all about trying
sanctuary.
To provide for you. Aren't you like, sign me up?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm going to take you to paradise. Do you want to go? And you're like, no, I'd rather stay here. It's unbelievable. And the other thing about that is when they got there, they're like, hey, listen, it's okay. You go into a lovely dormitory. They didn't say that it was in an army base.
Yeah, but
they lied to them. They said, no, and someone said that. I don't know if you saw the clip where they're like, yeah, I feel really bad now because we kind of told them that they were going to this really nice dormitory. I'm like, no, you're shipping them off. Mm-hmm. After 24 hours, you're out. And the funny thing is when you ever, because this for me is a real thing because I did do it properly. I did go through the right process. And like I always say, I do it 1,000 times again because it is a privilege and an honor to be in this country and to be an American. But the moment you start saying immigrant, they'll go, no, they're asylum seekers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
yep.
All of them?
Yep.
Every one of them is an asylum seeker,
yep.
Really.
Everyone.
Like everyone.
Yeah.
Even
why
if they're from Russia, even if they're from, you know.
Why aren't they seeking asylum in Mexico?
Well, what about the two from Pakistan that they picked up?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Asylum seekers.
All the way across. Like, how did you get there?
Right.
Like, it's not right there.
Well, it drives me nuts, too, because they will say that, and they'll say, seeking asylum is not illegal. And it's like, right, but there are certain points of entry that you're supposed to do that and you're supposed to do it the right way. You're not just supposed to walk across the actual Rio Grande River in the middle of the night when it's gone down enough for you to walk across it and then just like walk in. That's not the asylum seeking process.
They don't even do that anyway, because what they do is they'll come over, they'll get processed and they'll say, hey, listen, you've got to turn up at the court this date.
Yes.
And then they just don't go.
Right, yeah. Right.
And they're like, oh.
Right. We really thought they were going to show up.
Yeah, it's shocking to me that they just disappeared.
I would have thought that these people who broke the law just by the sheer fact that they are here definitely would have respected the law when they were told to come to court.
Yeah, and
it's confusing. I don't know. It's
and we have great guys like you that come here, and there's a lot of other, you know, people that migrate here the right way, but this is the problem. It's not even the people that are seeking asylum. I actually would want to kind of help people if they really were like a refugee from somewhere bad. But they give these kids a social security number as soon as they get here. These are children under 18, and then they go put them on somebody that is a family member. And they're not even a family mm-hmm. member. It might just be somebody that they know. So it's like the sex trafficking, the drug trafficking, that is what's so sinister about the border. They just totally ignore that. They'll put a million cameras in Martha's Vineyard for a busload coming of 50 migrants, but they will, and we'll talk about this later, Bill Mulligan for Fox News, him going to the border and just showing people crossing it illegally, the White House is like, oh man, we can't show this.
Yeah.
If they just gave 1 ounce of that attention to the actual border, maybe they could actually fix or at least make the situation a little better.
I was told, though, that there's nobody coming across the border.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that they lied?
No.
No.
Right. We've got More to come, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Nusu Labs. So I get it. It's hard to lose weight, especially when you have cravings throughout the day. And those of you who are working from home are probably, you get bored and you go to the pantry and you got, you know, the salty snacks and then you've got the sweet treats that maybe you eat too many of. That's why you have to try the new weight control formula from Nusu Labs. They use biohacking technology to curb your appetite and control all of those cravings. They've got natural ingredients, antioxidants, and it's going to maximize a healthy metabolism and keep you away from all of those empty calories. It's safe, it's natural, and you're not gonna have the harmful side effects and get like all jittery throughout the day. It doesn't do that. Trust me, I know. I've used it. I love it. And they guarantee you'll lose up to 3 pounds in the first week or your money back, so you have nothing to lose except the weight. Do you get it? Except the weight. Right now, get a free bottle with your order at nusulabs.com/Y. That is NUSULabs.com/Y. Matt Walsh did some research into Vanderbilt University's transgender clinic, which opened in 2018. And here's a video he found of Dr. Shane Taylor explaining how she convinced Nashville to open this clinic by emphasizing the sheer profits just from the gender transition surgery industry. Watch.
I kind of give you an idea of how much these bottom surgeries are making. And this is, I think this has to be an underestimate. This is for a vaginoplasty. They're saying they're quoting roughly around $20,000 for a vaginoplasty, but that doesn't include your hospital stay, that doesn't include your post-op visits, that doesn't include your anesthesia, your OR. So I would think that this has to be a gross underestimate. I think that's just like the surgeon's piece of it, which anybody who's ever been in the hospital knows that that's like 10% of it. And then the female to male bottom surgeries, these are huge money makers. Again, I think this has to be an underestimate that they're quoting around $20,000 for a phalloplasty. There's been different things that I've read that said it could be up to $100,000.
So if you think that these doctors, they just care about the transgender people, the transgender youth, no, it sounds a whole lot like it's all about getting rich off of mentally ill people. I want to play a couple more videos for you guys that Matt Walsh uncovered, because I think it's very, very important to see the kinds of things that these doctors are talking about. By the way, in one of these lectures, after this initial one from this doctor, staffers were warned by the Vanderbilt health law expert that any conscientious objection to any of these particular surgeries would be met with consequences. And they were told that they probably should not even be working at Vanderbilt if they don't want to participate in these trans surgeries. Here's another video from Vanderbilt's psychiatry's YouTube in 2020, where they have admitted to have given irreversible hormone therapy to children as young as 13. Watch.
We can provide gender-affirming hormones on an individual who is on a pubertal blocker, depending on whatever kind of blocker they've chosen or we have discussed with them, or they can present to us at a later stage of puberty, and then we provide the gender-affirming hormones. Previously, the Endocrine Society recommended to start these at age 16, but we all know that would be delayed puberty, right? Not 16-year-olds don't start puberty. So more recently, they did update that to say as early as 14 for compelling reasons. So we have some individuals who have started gender-affirming hormones at 13 or 14 to be more like their peers. Again, fertility preservation and consent are very important to discuss prior to any initiation of these.
But it gets worse. There was another video that he exposed that it's plastic surgeon, Vanderbilt plastic surgeon Julian Winokur and physician's assistant Shaylin Vanderbloman admitted to performing double mastectomies on teenage girls. Watch.
For any kind of top surgery, we do require one letter of persistent, well-documented gender dysphoria by a licensed mental health provider. We ensure that the patient is capable of making fully informed decisions on their own. They're the age of majority. However, for a lot of our younger patients, again, if they are 16, 17 here at Vanderbilt, if they have been on testosterone, have a parental consent, we're able to do a lot of the top surgeries for those patients.
Now, I'm sure it will come as a surprise to no one because these people are complete cowards and don't actually believe that what they are doing is the right thing. After Matt Walsh exposed this, they deleted the entire website for their gender clinic. Like, the website was just nowhere to be found. The governor is calling for an investigation into this particular clinic. So we'll see what happens. But it just infuriates me when I hear them using the term top and bottom surgeries. Like, that's not what... It's very cute that you want to come up with a little flowery name to disguise what you're actually doing. You're chopping girls' breasts off and coming up with a cute little name like top surgery to make it sound cute and trendy. That's not what it is. So please, if you're out there and you're talking, you're having conversations with people, stop using those terms. Those are their terms. They coined them to make this less disgusting. Let's call it what it really is. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty disgusting when you have a doctor up there saying that, oh, well, this is going to be really beneficial financially for the hospital. And I just kind of use this example. I know it might be weird, but follow me. It's like if anybody goes to the dentist, a lot of times, like, the dentist is kind of nice to you, but at the end of it, then you get the office administrator. And that's when they come in and like, oh, you need to get $10,000 worth of dental, you know, work. And that's where they kind of put the pressure on you. And the reason is that's exact same as these hospitals. You know, it's like maybe the doctor is trying to give you the impression that they care about you, that they want to help you. But there's some administrator yelling at this doctor, we need more money. We got to figure out how to, you know, increase revenue for this hospital. So it's all about money. They don't actually care about these children. That's the sickest part. They're literally cutting off genitals of children in order to line their pockets. And if they really want to make money, and this, write this down. If you really want to make money, instead of cutting off penises, figure out how to make them bigger, because then you're going to have a line out the door. And I'll be your first customer. Figure out how to make it a lot longer. I'm there. And then you still get to cut on penises all day. So it's a win-win.
Matt,
hey, listen,
please.
I'm not going to go there. But I was actually listening to that. And as a father, like...
It's you, like, you feel your blood pressure rising.
Oh, man, I'm just...
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I was like, I don't know if I can comment on it, because it was so infuriating to me. But look, the problem is, in history, we've had certain individuals, teachers, doctors, clergy, people that we look up to as figures that we respect, and we say, okay, well, that's why, you know, if you get a letter from the doctor, that's a responsible individual. That's gone.
Yep.
Like, we got to this is gone. Teacher's gone. We know that from libs of TikTok, right? But if you look at this, look at COVID. This is the thing to me. I, when all that was going down with the vaccine, everyone's like, no, they're doctors. I'm like, doctors are immune from greed.
Right.
I forgot that they were like some kind of angels that came down, you know, and they're like, oh, no, we don't want to make money. Excuse me, that's my second Porsche. You know, the farmer, they don't want to make money. Oh, yeah, the guy just made like billions of dollars in profit, right? Mm-hmm. Can we please just understand human nature and understand that humans are greedy, right? Not just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're immune to temptation and those kind of things. Do no harm, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the first thing that they should do? Do no harm. Where's that gone? You're chopping kids' breasts off. You're doing different things. It is kids, anyone that has children, especially teenagers, right, knows that they're confused a lot of the time. It doesn't matter, you know, what it might be about. They might be confused about where they're going to go to school. But you just sit down and you're a parent to them. Yeah. And what they're doing is that these people is they're undermining the parents.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's really evil. It's not like, oh, it's bad. It's an evil pursuit, right? And these kids are going to end up killing themselves in the end, because you're seeing it. It's just that they're miserable.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just like, it really angers me.
I know.
And
I know.
There's going to come a point where some dad is going to go. I said this before, right? Yeah. Some father's going to take the law into his own hands and do something about it, because it's not all about profit, right? Do no harm. Like, look at the health of the child. Mm-hmm. And let me say this. I say this to our everyone in America, that the bonus of growing up in Europe is doctors don't rush to prescribe you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. They'll go, oh, you know what? You know, it's a fever. You'll get through it. Like, right. Oh, you know, have an Advil or whatever. They do here.
Fever serve a purpose.
Yeah, here it's just like, oh, you know, boom, boom, boom. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, they got ADD, boom, 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 give them drugs. And when I first came, I was like, whoa, hang on a second. And luckily, I got a pediatrician that was an old school pediatrician that was like, nah, you know, your kid's fine, they'll get over it, and boom, boom, boom. And that's what we need. But now, and part of this is the litigious nature of of American. Yeah. You know, Americans tend to sue way more than anyone else, right? Yeah. So doctors will always, and I noticed this the other day, like a friend of mine had a bad diagnosis, but they give them the worst possible outcome rather than the best possible outcome and say, you know what? And you know, when people get sick, a lot of it as well is in the recovery is mentally. Mental.
Like, yeah, but you know why they do that? Because if a doctor tells you you have 6 months and you live a year, the doctor's a hero.
Bonus. He saves you. But it really is a thing. And I think that people need to start questioning their doctors, because a lot of the time we're like, okay, it's a doctor. You know, okay, it's a teacher. The teacher knows what's that's over. And, it's gone.
And don't forget that I agree with you about the greed aspect, but I think there's also a strong component of the medical community has been infiltrated at the highest level. So this is, they are being taught this garbage. And when they are already, you know, they're robots, it's just like, well, this is what I'm taught. This is all I know. And this is what I'm going to practice. And that's all that there is to it. I'm not saying that doctors aren't intelligent, but I mean, it's, they're memorizing what has been given to them to learn and how to think. And that's all that they know.
Yeah.
So if it's coming from the top down, it's difficult for doctors to even understand this. Now, I would say you don't have a conscience if you are okay with this type of thing, but that's a whole nother, look, we could spend a whole episode on that. Go ahead,
I just
want
to make this quick point, though. This is the last word, though. If you guys ever want to really lose your trust in a doctor, talk to a pharmaceutical rep, especially a pretty pharmaceutical rep, because they're going to tell you about all the bonuses that they give these people for prescribing these medications that the doctors don't even know. You know, half the time, the doctors don't even know the side effects of the medicine that they're prescribing in order to get Super Bowl tickets or a trip to Cabo San Lucas. So just talk to a pharmaceutical rep and ask her about the incentives that these pharmaceutical companies give to doctors in order to prescribe their medicine. And then you tell me if they're making these decisions based on trying to help you, you know, recover from some sort of illness, or if they're trying to help themselves go on an all expense paid vacation.
And wasn't this, by the way, all the left was all about, like, hey, big pharma.
Yeah. Or they used to hate
Big
Pharma.
What happened to that? Like, Occupy Wall Street.
They
can't do that.
Right.
And now they're all like, yes, whatever.
Yeah. That's the biggest psychological operation. Now they all love it.
By the way, the bonuses that Alex was talking about do also exist for the childhood vaccine schedule. But I digress. We will take a quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, iTarget Pro. So, listen, if you are living in a city, especially the inner cities, you need to make sure that, number one, you have the ability to protect yourself. Also, number two, that you train with whatever firearm you have, because it is your responsibility to be properly trained. That is why I use iTarget Pro. This is awesome because it's going to pay for itself in one time of using it, because you're dry firing in the comfort of your own home with your actual firearm. So it's gonna save you on the trip to the range, and it's gonna save you on a ton of practice ammunition. You download the app and you load the laser bullet into your firearm and you just start training. This was the way that I first introduced my son to my firearm, and I felt very, very comfortable with it because obviously it's not loaded. He gets to learn the different components and he gets to see how accurate he was, and wow. He was really sharp. You got to go to iTargetPro.com. You can get 10% off and free shipping if you use the offer code NEWS. That is the letter iTargetPro.com, offer code NEWS.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
Recent estimates from the U.S. Congressional Joint Economic Committee and NerdWallet indicated the average American household may have to spend an additional $11,500 just to maintain the same standard of living as previous years. American families spent on average $61,300 in 2020. Due to inflation, the exact same purchases this year in 2022 will run upwards of $72,900. Things are going really great in Joe Biden's America, but he was just on with 60 Minutes the other day, and he said that inflation has only gone up just an inch. So it sure doesn't feel like that when you really add up. And I'm not sure that the average American just has an additional $11,500 laying around to throw at these bills. It's not like we're talking about frivolous expenses. We're talking about food, gas, clothing. You got to have all of those things. So, it's getting pretty tough out there.
The sticker price at the grocery store is insane. I mean, I eat like about 10 bags of Oreos a week. And I think they went from, and I eat too many of them. I think they used to be $2.99 before Biden got in. Now they're literally like $5.99. I'm just using that as an example. Yeah. I'm just trying to use this like Nabisco, Kellogg's, all the stuff we shouldn't be eating. But all that little stuff that we don't even notice that was $3 is now literally almost double the price.
So imagine if you're not Alex and you're me and you actually put good, nutritious food in your body. Those are even worse. Yeah. I mean, really, like it is bad. I go to the grocery store and I'm just like, holy crap, I bought like 11 things. How am I spending $100?
Yeah, it's crazy. I know this is really boring, but I went to get salt for like the osmosis or whatever.
Yeah.
System.
No, it's great. Yeah.
And I was like, that's gone up like by $2. Like,
wow.
Because sea salt, the body, the stuff for like the, yeah, taking a, yeah, it, a salt it, bath. Yeah, yeah.
But who would have thought this would have happened? I don't know. It's, to me, I thought that we were going to have low gas prices under Biden. I thought that everything was going to be great. I didn't think we were going to have 2 million people come across the border. Who'd have thunk it?
I know. And then on top of this, as you see the White House, you know, they're kind of dodging that. We had 90 days where the gas prices went down, but now they're trending back up.
Yeah. But it'll be Vladimir Putin's fault.
It's all Putin's fault.
Yeah. It's Joe Biden's credit when it goes down, but it's Vladimir Putin's fault when it goes up.
And I don't want to take over the show because I didn't see this on the rundown, but Vladimir Putin's going to drop a nuclear bomb and we're screwed. We're all screwed. And now we're going to have to go into war. I mean, you saw what Joe Biden said. If he does that, we're going to get in the war.
Yeah.
I think Putin might do that just to troll Biden. You know, I mean, he might even not even... I'm just worried that he's going to keep escalating the war in the Ukraine in order to make Biden look bad, because he probably likes America getting involved.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I want to just really quickly go back to, we're talking about this conversation about inflation. And my husband and I were at a Thai restaurant across the street, actually, having lunch. And they had these signs all on all of the tables. And look, it was on the sign. I didn't fact check it. So just a disclaimer, but it wouldn't surprise me. But the point that it makes, I think, is very important, which it just says fryer oil 12 months ago was $12. 6 months ago was $35. It's $50 today. Chicken wings was $45 a case 12 months ago, $175 a case today. Takeout boxes, $25 wow. 12 months ago, $95 today. This is the same for all our cleaning, paper, and food we use. If a local restaurant adds a few dollars to your meal, it's not to get rich, it's to continue to stay in business. And my heart just really, really broke for not just this business, but so many small businesses, restaurants, especially throughout the community, that it's like, well, if COVID didn't kill you and the pandemic didn't kill you with the government shutting you down, inflation probably will. So pack it all in. Even the best mom and pop, you know, restaurant, it's hard. It's getting really hard out there for people. It just made me really sad.
Well, it's funny you say that, not to be all anecdotal and talk about my personal thing, but I was at a place in Brunswick, Maryland, in the middle of nowhere called Penny's Diner, and I bought pancakes, chocolate chip pancakes, and you know, I love chocolate. It was only like $4 or something. I was like, dude, that was so cheap. He's like, yeah, even though prices are high, we're really struggling. We're keeping the prices low to try to get in customers. Yeah. So it's like they have this kind of catch-22 is where they don't want to make their prices too high, where people don't want to come and eat there. So it's really tough for a lot of businesses out there right now.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we used to go out to eat a lot more often than we do now. Because we'll go and we're like, how the hell did we just spend $200 at just a casual restaurant, you know, for our family? So it's getting tough. All right, before we take a break, I do want to play this. Hillary Scholten, a Michigan Democrat running for Congress, appeared in a campaign ad showing her son wearing duct tape sandals and an in-window air conditioner turned off because, you know, as we're talking about times are tough. Well, she reportedly earned over $200,000 last year as an immigration attorney, and her family's total income was, of course, even more because her husband received consulting fees from two nonprofits while also earning a salary as a university professor. But she really wants you to believe she's just like you. Times are really tough, especially for her poor son with the duct tape sandals. Watch.
Times are tough. And like most Michigan families, we're making do with less and making things last longer.
Oh,
I'm Hillary Skelton. With things so expensive, it's tiring watching politicians fight each other instead of working for us. Both sides need to give. Democrats should stop the spending, and Republicans need to focus on people, not power. I approve this message. In Congress, I'll focus on the issues that matter most to Michigan families, because they matter to mine too.
Don't you believe her? Isn't she so believable? She criticized both sides, so she must be in the middle and totally trustworthy, you guys.
Well, and did you notice the sandals didn't even need the duct tape? I know we got to probably pause on it, but that's what made me so mad. If they would have needed the duct tape, I would understand. Yeah. They were perfectly fine. They looked brand new.
They were Birkenstocks.
They were Birkenstocks. $150 sandals. Like, what the heck is going on?
My Louboutin heels need some duct tape.
My Uggs. Oh, I need a new pair of Uggs for the winter. Oh, my last one have a little scratch on
it. It's them. Like, you know that scene in Dumb and Dumber where he's like, hey, can you take this? You can borrow these other pair of clubs that I was
wearing. You've had a second pair.
I'm sorry that your Birkenstocks didn't last.
Dumb and Dumber, one of the best movies of all time.
These people are so insufferable and bad.
Well, the worst part is, you know, the director's like, let's put some tape on the sandals and we'll do a say, you know, because everything is so produced. So they're like, oh, we're going to show a shot of the sandals and they're going to think, well, they're so poor. Don't they normally say
at the end, I approve of this message?
Mm-hmm.
Not like, I'm talking and I approve of what I say.
I know, I thought that was weird.
I'm like, that's really weird.
That whole commercial was very weird. That is weird.
Yeah, you know? That's because Democrats are all, I think. Leftism is a mental disorder. So, all right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back.
Yeah, but the sandals, I watched the thing, they're not even that. The duct tape on it didn't even need it.
On Sunday, Foster County deputies in North Dakota were called to an alleyway by 41-year-old Shannon Brandt after he ran over and killed 18-year-old Kaylor Ellingson. He told authorities that Ellingson was part of a Republican extremist group, and he was afraid that they were, quote, coming to get him. Also, he was under the influence of alcohol and confessed to hitting Ellingson with his car because of a political argument, and he... By the way, not such a good guy, left the site of the crash, but returned and called 911 before leaving again. So he will be charged with criminal vehicular homicide and a DUI with $50,000 bail. He was released today after posting bail. Just before this alleged hit and run, Ellingson reportedly called his mother to ask if she knew who this man was. His mother said yes and immediately went on her way to pick her son up. He also made another phone call to his mother that they were chasing him. And I'd just like to point out for the record, this has happened 17 days after Joe Biden's infamous MAGA extremist speech, where he is giving a speech from the depths of hell, demonizing and dehumanizing half of the country, which has been a very, very slow, methodical, long time coming of trying to paint an entire political party as horrible, extremist, violent, domestic terrorist, all of the things. These are the consequences of doing what Joe Biden did, of doing what Maxine Waters has done, what Nancy Pelosi has done, what the entire left wing has done for all of these years does have consequences. Unfortunately, this 18-year-old didn't deserve the consequence that was brought to him.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't care. I mean, look at Kenosha. They don't care if you kill anybody with a car. I mean, seriously, you know, they don't even consider that a weapon. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the outrage, the fact that the guy was able to get out of jail the next day, and when it's obviously this is some sort of politically motivated murder. I mean, that should make you sick. It makes me sick just saying that. And that's where we're at, where this is what they do. These politicians, they make us fight each other so that we never actually go after them, the people that are causing us these issues, because I don't know that guy. I don't know both the victim nor the guy, but they probably don't even really hate each other. They're probably not even that different of people. But because we've been so radicalized in this identity politics world, people are literally out there motivated to kill another person for no reason, because they voted for a different political candidate. It's insane.
Yeah, it's fascinating because if you're so afraid that an 18-year-old, a 41-year-old man is so afraid that an 18-year-old is coming to get him, and you're in the car already, and the 18-year-old is not, I feel like you just drive away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, firstly, how heartbreaking is that? I mean, that kid, son was a
gorgeous
young man, yeah. Like with his whole life ahead of him, and it's heartbreaking, I feel.
Well, he committed the inexcusable crime of perhaps believing in less government.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable, right? Yeah. It's like standing up for what you believe in. Now it deserves murder. I mean, it's unbelievable. Where are the protests?
Well, you say murder. Notice they didn't charge him with murder. It was criminal vehicular homicide.
Well, because...
Which is a big difference, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is what they do. Right, this is what they do. But, you know, when you're in a car and you've got a mob around you smashing the windows, you'll get prosecuted if you try and drive away and you hit any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, look, there needs to be a clear delineation. And we saw it with the Trump story earlier on, and we're seeing it with this. There's one set of rules for one group of people, and another set of rules for another. And if you are in the classical term of being a liberal, I mean, even if you're a left, you've got to look and say, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a functioning... Society cannot continue like this. It just can't. Mm-hmm. And we're getting to a point where... I know a few other people on this show have said it multiple times. It's like, it's looking like we're going to have to pick, like, which side are you going to be on and where do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of an America do you want to live in? And I don't want to live in that America where... there's people I disagree with all the time. Listen, I'm an actor. I've been on set with people that I hear say the worst things about people that I care about, good people. I mean, wasn't it this thing with Matt Damon recently where he's like, oh, I actually realized that, you know, Republicans are actually human beings and they're nice people. Like, you don't get that. Like, I don't think that, well, I do think that some of the other side are monsters. We've seen it, these people willing to...
There's monsters on both sides.
There's monsters on both sides, but... the content of someone's character. But now we're in a situation where it's an us and them mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't want to just say they're the ones in the wrong and we don't ever do anything wrong, but the calls for violence and stuff, it just really just seems to only be exclusively on the left while they are painting us as the violent extremists. It's just so frustrating because it's like you had Kathy Griffin, who I know she backtracked and said, that's not how I meant it, but she said that if Republicans win, there's going to be a civil war. You know, you're constantly hearing the term civil war from the left, and it's like... I don't understand how you guys are trying to paint us as the violent extremists. Like, you guys are the ones committing the violence.
Yeah, no, I mean, the extremism, like you could argue, like you said, there's monsters on both sides, but it's very left-leaning when it comes to the calls to action for actual violence. You look at the Antifa, you look at the events that you've been to, Sarah, where you see these people now, they're beholden to carry these huge weapons. I mean, carrying multiple weapons. So it's about intimidation, and these people on the left, they do want to fight. And I think that's the difference between the right, is the right wants to be kind of, you know, I guess almost too diplomatic on the right a little bit.
Yeah,
and the left is not diplomatic at all. So that's where we have that, you know, all that, you know, that juxtaposition.
You can't reason with another side who is completely unreasonable.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's sorry, guys, but it's time to fight fire with fire, in my personal opinion.
You're doing that.
I'm trying. How do you think that the left was able to change the culture so much? Why are we talking about drag queen story time hours? Why are we talking about all of these? Why are we talking about kids getting their genitals mutilated? Because Republicans have sat back and said, I'm just going to pay attention, mind my own business, pay attention to my family, and not bother anyone else. And that's when the left came in and changed all of the culture while Republicans sat around and minded their own business. So I think it's time to stop minding your own damn business and get involved.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
With good intentions. Thank you. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back. Less than 24 hours after Gays Against Groomers had their PayPal and Venmo accounts disabled, the group said that their Google account was also disabled. This is, of course, an organization of gay people created this to stop the sexualization and abuse of young children. And I would say that this is very homophobic of Google and PayPal and Venmo. I think that's very extremely homophobic because... These are gay people. Don't they have a right to speak for themselves, to tell their own truth, Google? Don't these gay people have the right to tell their own truth, you homophobic bastards? We're definitely getting kicked off YouTube now.
Yeah, that's what I want to say, yeah. I want to make this point. If they didn't follow Susan Wojcicki's terms of service, they deserve to go. And they don't deserve to have PayPal. They don't deserve to have Venmo. And I think we should shut all their bank accounts. As long as you guys don't touch mine, just make sure to shut all theirs down.
Alex is just like kissing Susan Wojcicki.
Yeah, Susan, I love you. Sarah's insane. I don't know why you're doing such a great job.
He's like, I don't even know her.
I've never even been on the green screen. I didn't know this was going to be an anti-YouTube episode. No, but on a serious note, though, it's funny how like even the people that you would think are marginalized, like, you know, gay people, if they speak out against their agenda, they even get more marginalized. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's just like bigotry. I mean, they're going after homosexuals.
African-American Republicans are like, welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
They're like, hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you. Alex Stein, Matthew Marsden. Make sure you are following both of them, and we will see y'all tomorrow.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.